Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. Jesus says, "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is our text. In Christ Jesus, dear friends, hasn't this been an exciting last couple of weeks? For 16 days, all eyes have been on the city of Vancouver. Nations from all over the world have sent their best athletes to compete in their various and specific sports, in their areas of specialty. But unfortunately, there were some sobering moments even before the Olympics began, when one young athlete lost his life in a training run at the Luge track. Others, for whom their sponsoring nations had such high hopes, suffered unexpected injury sometimes before or even during the competition. And then others experienced personal tragedy, like Joanie Rochette, whose mother died suddenly of a heart attack last Sunday. But unmarred by these kinds of circumstances, others have won their event and gloried in their accomplishments. With crowds cheering, they took their place on the podium with a gold medal, while their nation's flag was raised to a prominent place and their country's national anthem was played. You know, it's a long and hard road for those athletes, some of them training the entire 4 years in preparation for the Olympics. Many long hours of hard training, often pushing themselves to the absolute level of endurance, sometimes to the point of injury, requiring surgery, and then long and painful rehabilitation, and then dedication to more hours, more training, lonely days at the gymnasium or at the arena or at whatever sports facility they train. But you and I know that when these athletes stand on the podium, what they will remember is that one golden moment when they've received the great prize. That one single moment on the podium will be etched in their memory for the rest of their lives. I often wonder if St. Paul wasn't an athlete at some point in his life. He uses so many athletic metaphors in Scripture. At the end of his life, he wrote these words, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." In our sermon text for this morning, Jesus tells a parable. A parable about a woman who had 10 silver coins. And somehow she loses one of these coins, each coin worth about a day's wage. So it was pretty significant. And although you could say, well, she still had 9 coins left, how would she account for the lost one when her husband returned home? A day's wage! And so she lit a lamp using valuable oil in those days and swept the whole house diligently, it says, until she found it. Now, this woman knew that the lost coin was not going to find itself. And it didn't matter if the coin was at the other end of the house or just under a table by her feet. It didn't matter how far or how near it was lost. And it would be foolish to think that this woman could somehow call out invitingly to the coin and it would respond and show up and say, "Here I am, gather me back in with the other coins." Ridiculous, of course. So she sweeps the house and she searches and she searches and she finds that lost coin. And then she gathers her friends together to rejoice with her. Because of all that she had to do to find that lost coin. It became very special to her. It became a great prize to her. So that's the parable in our sermon text for this morning. It's interesting to note that that parable is bracketed by two other parables that talk about the lost. The one just before it talks about the lost sheep and how the shepherd leaves his 99 to go out after that one lost sheep. And then the parable after our sermon text is the parable of the prodigal son who had severed his relationship with his father, squandered his inheritance with wild living, and had come to ruin, as the Bible says. And the parable there gives us a glimpse of the father's heart who runs out to embrace his son and bring him back into the family. So three parables of the lost. Now you look at them and you can say that the sheep was a mindless animal and certainly in danger of being devoured by other wild animals. Couldn't get back to the flock. The coin was an inanimate object incapable of thought and could contribute nothing towards being found. Now, some might think that the prodigal is different. The prodigal son can think. He can make moral choices. And some would say that somehow he could restore himself. He could become unlost. Not so. He comes before his father and says, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be your son." The prodigal son was aware of his lostness, and that's the only thing he had over that lost coin and that lost sheep. He knew he was lost. He knew what it felt like to be lost and abandoned by all of his friends. Have you ever experienced that? Being lost? I have. I remember, I guess it was a long time ago, I was about 4 or 5 years old, so that gives you an idea of how long ago it was. My mother had taken me with her to downtown Montreal. Family didn't own a car at that time, and so we were taking the city bus. At one bus stop, the bus arrived and the doors opened to reveal standing room only. My mother stepped on the bus, and I guess I was too small to be noticed by the bus driver, so he closed the bus door and drove off. Imagine that, for a 5-year-old being left on the sidewalk all by himself. Now, I don't remember many things from that early an age, but I do remember that incident as if it happened yesterday. I remember standing there with a complete sense of helplessness and hopelessness. I didn't move. I didn't know what to do. I was frozen to that spot. I was completely and totally and literally lost in downtown Montreal, a 5-year-old little boy. Now, I didn't cry, which was something you might expect from a 4 or 5-year-old boy. I simply felt empty. Like, this is the end. This is it. The feeling of emptiness came from that condition of being lost. I've seen that in the lives of other people. I've seen a hardened oil rig worker in the hospital, now in his 60s, just diagnosed with terminal cancer, and suddenly realizing that he had wasted his whole life, had never given any thought to his relationship with his Heavenly Father, let alone his family, whom he typically ignored. And he wanted to see a pastor because he was lost. I remember visiting a man who, in his 20s, immigrated to Canada from Russia, a senior now, quite elderly, who, at the end of his life, wanted to see a pastor. He felt lost. He said to me, "Pastor, in my life I've done terrible things." And he knew that that had separated him from God, and he felt lost. Like the prodigal son, it's so easy to act on the sinful desires which separate us from God. And like the lost coin and the lost sheep, we don't have the ability to do anything about our condition. That lost condition, results in that emptiness which you see so often in the faces and the eyes of so many people. And the fact is, it's that sin which is in our heart and lives which separate us from God as surely as those bus doors separated me from my mother that Sunday, that Saturday morning years ago in downtown Montreal. And you all know about that sin because you struggle with it daily, just as I do. And there's nothing that any of us can do to make up for it. It's in our thoughts. We can't get rid of it. It's in our words when we can't control it. It's in our deeds when it gets away from us. And we probably feel it more distinctly as Christians because we wrestle with it and we try to resist it. And those that don't care about it, obviously, don't feel it quite as sharply. But it's there. And it's because of that that we would all be eternally lost, except, and that's a wonderful word, except. As the bus pulled away, I could see my mother pounding on those bus doors. My 4'10" little mother fought those doors so fiercely that this bus came to a dead stop in the middle of an intersection, a busy intersection in downtown Montreal, and opened the doors and let her out so she could rescue her son. And I'm sure if the bus driver had not stopped that bus, she would have created an incident that would have gone down in the annals of commuter history. She fought fiercely for me. I was lost without her. But she fought to find me and to come to me. I don't mean this in a boastful way, but she saw me as the great prize, her son. And nothing would deter her from finding me again. And that's the picture that we have of our Heavenly Father's heart. And He sent His Son to find you and me. And each one of us is the great prize. He came to eliminate that barrier of sin that separated us from our Heavenly Father. He fought those doors and He overcame those doors. He fought with sin and death. He wrestled with Satan and He won. And by His death on the cross and His resurrection, He defeated the power of sin and He opened heaven's door for us. Like the athlete suffering and enduring to win the prize, Jesus came to win you the great prize. Jesus came to be the champion for us. He came to find you, to fight for you, to win you. And each one of us is His prized possession. Through His blood, which He poured out on the cross, He paid the price for your sin. And if there's anyone here this morning who does not know and has not heard of the love and forgiveness of God that He has for you in Jesus Christ, be assured that that gift is available for you now and for all the lost. And it is to be received freely as a gift given to us and received through faith. And then a very strange thing happens. I want you to think about this. It's strange in the sense that no one would ever expect it. He takes the gold medal and He places it on us. He's the one that's won the great prize, but He gives us the victory. His death becomes our death. His resurrection becomes our resurrection. And St. Paul then writes, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So you see, He's done absolutely everything that is necessary to win us, to redeem us. He seeks us as the good shepherd who leaves the 99 in search for the one lost. He diligently and persistently seeks us like the woman who sweeps her whole house until she finds that lost coin. And like the Father, He welcomes home the repentant son for His own sake. He considers us the prize. And when in repentance and faith we receive the full right of sonship, Think then about that resulting golden moment of celebration, which will become an eternity of rejoicing, which the very angels of God join with their rejoicing and their thanksgiving and their praise to God. The Bible tells us, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. And St. Paul writes, for I consider that the present sufferings of this world are not worth comparing to the glory that shall be revealed in us. These passages are merely a hint and a glimpse of glory. For now we know that the lost is found. Sin is atoned for. Death has been overcome. Satan has been defeated. And God grants us the victory through Christ. And we are simply waiting to be escorted to the podium. May God strengthen our faith so that we may enjoy the victory won for us by Christ our Savior, and as His great prize, eagerly anticipate that golden eternal moment. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.